Well, I'm going to pray as we get ready to open up the Word. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we depend on your Holy Spirit, Lord, to grow us, to speak to us, to direct us, to empower us to do things that we don't want to do, things that seem impossible for us to do. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to pray for us, to bring our needs that we don't even know before the Father in heaven, to help us walk out things that are coming or we're in the midst of. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to comfort us, to advocate for us. We need your Holy Spirit to convict us and encourage us in what we're doing right and challenge us in what needs to be adjusted and changed. Lord, we come to you this morning. Would you be all of those things as we open your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a series in the book of Proverbs, and I ask my friends who've talked to me about it, pastors say, what are you preaching on? What are you preaching on? And they say, well, man, how long are you in Proverbs for? Well, I think we've been in Proverbs for a while. And we're going to be in it a little while longer, you know, and we take breaks, and I love, hey, Rich, thanks for bringing the Holy Spirit last week. The message on the Holy Spirit. I got a chance to listen to it and appreciate how God's gifted Rich and the service and the gifts that were demonstrated. As it's without the Holy Spirit, church is dead. We need the Holy Spirit to come bring life to the Bible, bring life to our hearts. As we look at the book of Proverbs, we looked at lots of things, knowing God, knowing wisdom, and kind of approach it in a topical sense. It's like, if you've read Proverbs, man, there's lots, even in sometimes one chapter, there's lots of different topics covered. And so with the help of my friend Timothy Keller, who wrote a devotional on the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Proverbs, kind of categorizing lots of these topics into sections. And so in this last section, we're talking about knowing others. And last time we looked at Proverbs, what it had to say about friendships. Friendships, the importance of friendships. Today, I want to look at how we can know others by their words, by what they say. God is the originator of words, right? He spoke the world into existence, right? Let there be light. Let there be animals. Let there be separating the land from the sea. Those kind of things that we look at and take for granted. It's like, really? God just spoke that into being? Well, yes, he did. I wasn't there. You went there. We only can accept that by faith. And just all the examples in the world that we can see, none of this can happen by accident. I have things in my life that I've worked hard at, and there's a little bit of organization to it, and I guarantee it did not just happen by accident. Those things that we have to be purposeful about, and when growing our walk with God is one of those that we have to be intentional about and say, put that time aside, and then to have the Holy Spirit come in and bless those things that we're working on so that it grows and becomes fruitful. As we talk about those words that we say, because we're created in God's image, the only words God speak are right. I wish I could claim the same. I speak a lot of words, sometimes too many words, and sometimes not enough. But we talk about the words. I want to look at 8 different ways that when we speak words, how it impacts people, how it impacts us. This first one is words bear fruit. Words bear fruit. No, reading from Proverbs 12:18 and then again chapter 18 and 21 and putting them together. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have the power of life and death. And if you and I are wise, we'll understand the significance of that. You know, some of us, you, say things just flippantly, right? The old adage, right? Without thinking. You know, and sometimes guys are famous for that. It's like, my wife has to correct me sometimes. She says, Scott, you don't say that to your wife. I said, what's wrong with that? It's like, and I say that in front of her, but if she were to repeat it in front of you, you would shame me. You're like, how could you say that? And I will not even get into it with what I've commented in my life because it is not good. Those things that I should not say to my wife or anybody else and for that matter. But it just talks about just that words that pierce the soul, those words that go through, that are sharp, that don't just hit bluntly, but go deeply into our soul. They get into our heart. But also there are words that bring healing. Words that are comforting. Words that bring hope. Words that bring perspective. I crave words. One of my love languages is words of affirmation. Have you guys ever been familiar with love languages? Have heard that? Anybody here have words of affirmation as one of your... You know, some people it's gifts, some people it's touch, some people it's time. Mine is words of affirmation. I come to life in those things. And it's how it's so important. My wife, she's also words of affirmation person. I'm thankful it's not gifts. We do give gifts, but it just like, it. I remember just when she began to discover how important it was, I like to take care. I grew up, my dad took care of the lawn, and I like taking care of the lawn, and I like how things look and the weeds pulled and things. And it is beautiful to look at, but really what the reward for me is when my wife says, Scott, you do such a good job on the lawn. It looks so good. You know, I just like, that just fills my soul up. That just, I know it looks good. I get pleasure out of the flowers that have been blooming, you know, as the spring and the different colors that come and then fade and something else comes. I think it's beautiful. But more meaningful than that is the words that she speaks to me. Those words that are so important. Words bring a reward. It's interesting as we talk about those words that are hurtful, that we can never take back. I remember when we were talking about words with our children about things that we say as, like, you know, we weren't allowed to say, I can't even tell you what we weren't allowed to say, but weren't allowed to say inappropriate things, you know. And Jackie would call our kids out on it. And I remember as a youth pastor getting a great illustration that I tried out on my kids first, and that was you take a tube of toothpaste, and you have a bowl, and you just talk about words, and you just squeeze the tube out, and then you challenge your kids to put it back in the tube. Well, if you knew my boys, they love a challenge. And they're like, we're going to put that back in there. And the point being, the illustration is that once you get your words out, you can't put them back in. But my boys would say, we got it back in, Dad. We got it back in. They got it back in, but it was really messy, right? You can try to apologize. You can, like, do lots of nice things afterwards, but it doesn't replace the words that came out. Those things, to realize the importance of words, and if you were to study the Word, look at the words that God speaks to us. They're all positive and in intention. He confronts sin. But his goal in confronting our sin is not condemnation, but healing and restoration and walking towards life. And the words he gives are words of hope, words that we need to hear. Words wound, whether you mean to or not. Words wreck reputations and cause loss of trust and even can cause death to someone. Words have ended friendships and families. Words have triggered even murders and suicides and wars. I think about just our Facebook, our social media, where the kids who have heard terribly mean things on Facebook or other media and then gone home and taken their life because they've believed those words, it has found a landing place in their soul. Words are so important of how we speak. Words bear fruit. Do you love to use your words to encourage, bring healing, bless, and love? If those are the kind of words you like to use, you will eat its fruit. Do you love to use your words to criticize, bring conflict, take revenge? You too will eat its fruit. Words are so important of how we speak. Have you seen the power of rash words in your life or in the lives of others? Words not only bear fruit, but words make alive. Proverbs 12, verse 14, and chapter 15, verse 4. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hand brings them reward. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. We would all agree that when you work, you get paid. Most of us don't have jobs that you don't do any work and you still get paid. You know, we'd all sign up for that job, right? Give me the job. You don't have to work, but you still get paid. Words also, we get paid by them. The wise person understands that your words that you speak have a sure result. Just like when you work, you get paid. The words you use have a sure result. Words can wound or they can heal, like we talked about. They can crush a spirit or they can be soothing as a tree of life. God's created words with power. It's so crazy. It's like, would you give your four-year-old your keys to your car to drive? It's like, that's crazy. But that's kind of what God has done in allowing us to use our words. It's like something so powerful, so influential, so potentially life-giving, and so potentially death-giving, given it to a four-year-old. That's you and me if we don't understand the wisdom of the words that God has given us. God's word is creative and life-giving. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Jesus answered about the importance of word is that it is written, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We don't just live by the bread, by food. Life is created by the words that are spoken and the good words that God wants to speak in our life. Because we're made in God's image, our words as well has the power of life and death. Are you aware of the power of your simple words to bless? We always think and appreciate other people's words of encouragement, and we dread their criticism or judgmental. We know how it feels, but is it reflected in how we speak? To recognize that we tend to belittle what we do and think it's not a big deal, and then what other people do and say, we like, oh, that is major. Part of walking and understanding of words and the wisdom that Proverbs gives us of being aware is like, man, what I say, even if it's a simple thing, is powerful and deep. We don't know the words that we say and the moment that it catches people in just made the difference in how they felt about themselves and their willingness to step into something new and their willingness to go back and apologize to somebody or willingness to go back and invest in something that's hard. When have you seen the power of words in your life and in others. As you think back, the significant things that people said, good or bad, the impact that it has on you. As I guarantee that who you are right now, sitting where you're sitting, or whether you're watching online, who you are is directly related to the words that somebody has spoken to you, whether it was good or whether it was bad, whether it was challenging or whether it was flattering. Words. Words divide. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflicts, and gossip separates close friends. Right, this passage talks about two kinds of words. Right, one is somebody who stirs up conflict. You know that sometimes I remember hearing the saying that there's people who, if there's nothing going on, if there's no drama going on, they'll create the drama. You know, you've been around somebody who's like, how can you live like that? I just hang out with you. My heart starts to beat fast and I get stressed out. It's like, woo, what is it about that they have to point out things and pit people against somebody else? Those things that it stirs up conflict and they actually get pleasure out of it. The second kind of speech happens when we talk behind somebody's back. Gossip. We don't have the confidence or even believe maybe what we say to say it in front of somebody or in private. But we'll go tell somebody else about it. And it's so crazy. It's like you could say in a room, somebody would come in and says, hey, do you know what I heard? I guarantee the room goes silent. It's like, what did you hear? It is just so weird that it's so drawing us all in because we want to hear what is it that somebody doesn't know about somebody. Even if it's something that's shameful or something that was in secret that now is public. We're drawn to that. And it's not good because it divides friendship. It wrecks friendships. And even in that moment, it creates pride because the person sharing it is really what they're saying is, I'm going to point out their flaw because I'm not like that. Right? We're always like, when we're pointing out other people's flaws, really we're saying, they're messed up and I'm not. It's pride that comes in and brings up conflict or gossip as we talk about other people. Both of those kind of responses and words damage relationships. God's desires is that we wouldn't participate in that. You know, I joke about the saying is when somebody says, I probably shouldn't say anything, well then, don't say anything. I even have to remind myself of that. I was like, I probably shouldn't say anything about this. Then don't. Even the temptation is, but I just want to get it out. It's like, that's brokenness. To not want to say things that just bring life to somebody. It's like, what benefit of that is that? I've had to ask myself that as the Holy Spirit talked to me, like, what was the point of that, Scott? What in the world were you so needy to have to say something about that? What did that accomplish? You know, and then if you're like me, sometimes you like jump into rationalization, right? It's like, oh, it was true. Okay, maybe it was true. But did it benefit anybody? Don't you think they knew they already were wrong? Didn't they already admit that? Or maybe there's some other things that God is working and growing them. Why are you picking on that thing? What is, James, what is that? It says, why don't you take care of the log in your own eye, right? Before you take care of the speck in somebody else's. I've beat people with my logs. It's like, bam, ow, bam. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Jesus demonstrated it in Matthew 12, verses 19 and 20. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I just pray that I would have so much sensitivity that I would recognize that there are hurt people. That the words that I say, a bruised reed, it's already broken. I don't know if you've ever experimented, you know, putting a toothpick or something in help tape to see the healing that comes instead of just snapping it off. To bring healing to somebody who is already hurting rather than just finishing the job. But to care so much about that there's no reason that I need to announce somebody else's folly. But to be able to come and say there's something burning in desire. That's why I want our church to be a healing church. I want our church to be, when somebody comes in, because the reality is every one of us is a bruised reed, meaning we've got broken parts of our lives. And when we come to church, we need people not to point out our brokenness, but to come and bring healing to that brokenness. People who come to church have a smoldering ember burning in their heart to want to know God, to want to do what's right. We can douse it with water and put the flame out with our self-righteousness to think everything is good. I was talking with our friends about just how important it is to be transparent about our struggles. How was your week? Oh, it's great. God is so good. He's so awesome. It's like, or it was a good week, but it was a hard week. I'm learning to trust the Lord in ways I haven't before. Even though you may look like you got it all going on. You come and your wife is loving you. Your kids are good that day. To be honest about your struggle. So that it opens up a place where people say, man, I had a hard week too. It's like, I'm so glad you're here. I pray that God would touch your heart. God would encourage you. That you'd recognize that it's a we. It's not a me and you. It's a we. We all equally need to be saved and touched by the Lord. Where have you seen conflict and gossip damage relationships? Words reward. Proverbs 12, verse 13 and 14. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. Sinful talk traps people. Speaking truth, speaking life escapes trouble. I remember being aware of how important it was, righteousness. I'm a guy, and I like girls. I know that's a shock. Hopefully neither shock you. But I realized, life has lots of opportunities to trip us up. I worked in an office with equal women and men. I was married with three kids, and there were single women in that department that I worked in. And I knew that some of them, because I knew that there was the office affairs that had happened, and some married people, some unmarried. And I'm a red-blooded American guy who was attracted to that scene. One of the ways that I protected myself was talking about my wife. I'm saying, this is what my wife and I did this weekend. Here's what I'm learning about my kids. Here's what my friends and I did. Those kind of words about saying I love my wife, I love my relationship, or working through things, protected me from people. the reverse is also true. That when I didn't talk about my wife and I said things inappropriately to coworkers, that opened up doors. Our words have consequence. Our words reward us. There's a fruit of relationship. I never had an affair, at least not a physical one. But words protect, because as I articulated my appreciation for my wife, it did two things. One is it sent a message. I'm happy. Don't go there. But I also was speaking the truth for my own soul to remember what was true and right and good. Wherein have you seen your words shape you on the inside? Whether it's self-talk or whether it's stuff that's spoken, it has an impact. Words expose. Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly come to ruin. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for rashly really has to do with a word that's commonly used with sexual promiscuity. Words spoken rashly, meaning words that are spoken that should be kept to yourself or kept in a private place. Those words that are spoken rashly, things that are inappropriate, those conversations that should not happen, will harm and shame us because it reveals what's on the inside of us. Whether you speak good or whether you speak bad. Those things that we think in our head don't have to come out of our mouth. It's really revealing two things. Listen what comes out of your mouth, whether it's criticism or whether it's crude humor or whether it's degrading of people. That reveals what's in your heart. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't help what comes out of your mouth. When I am stressed out and I'm mean or I'm short, it causes me an opportunity to check out what's going on inside. It's like, what am I stressed out about? Why am I being short? What is going on? Something weird happened yesterday. Something weird happens every day, but we had some friends invite us over for dinner, and I'd had a busy week. You know, it seemed like every night, and I was torn because I really wanted to connect with these friends, but I was feeling exhausted emotionally, mostly, not just physically. And I remember being angry. It's like, why did I say yes? And it just, what that reveals, I had to sit. Any guys pout here? I pout. Oh, I see some elbows flying here. Some finger pointing. It's like, I said, I just, you know, Jackie came in and said, what are you doing? I'm okay. I'm not doing good, but I'm okay. I kind of didn't have words, know what was going on. And then she came in later and I said, I'm just really mad. I'm just really mad. I'm really glad we're doing this, but I'm really mad. I don't want to do it. And so I had to go up to my room and sit in my chair and pout looking out the window. I was like, what in the world is going on? And I realized, what shouldn't be a shock, is that I had been kind of unhealthy, because I wasn't. You can be busy and be healthy, and you can be busy and be unhealthy. And I was busy and being unhealthy because I wasn't taking that busyness. And that's kind of an irony, too. It's like, when you're busy, do you have time to take time to be quiet? No. It's like, no, I needed to take the time and settle my soul and say, am I doing what God called me to do? Either yes or no. If it's no, I need to say no and step away from something. If it's yes, I can say I'm walking in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, not on my own thing time. And one of those things, we had gone far enough, I was like, well, why don't you want to call him and cancel? I said, no, I need to go. I need to go. I know my soul needs this, even though I'm pouting. And God was true to his word. It's like, he went with me. And if nothing more than to realize, you finite little human being, would you quit doing things on your own and talk to me about things? Because we went and spent time with our friends, and we both went home encouraged. We had great conversation, laughter, and it always includes food with Jackie and I. We love to enjoy food. And it was like, that was good. But it was hard to get there. It's like those words are important, the words that you speak to yourself, those words, how you interact with them. They're so important to speak life and be honest out, but not abusive with your words. Romans 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. I worked hard. I was aware of my anger, aware of my upsetness, and aware that it was inappropriate. It was like, God, would you help me decipher what this is about? Would you help me put to death what is not good here? You know what's interesting? My wife and I have noticed that we can have an angst and be in a hurry to get home to get away from busyness. But for what? You get home and there's nothing to do there. But somehow you were in such a hurry to get home. It's like, there's something broken here. To be and enjoy what you're doing, fully present in what you're doing. And not in a hurry to, Jackie and I call it really, trying to grab a hold of our own peace instead of enjoying the peace of God. Whether it's with friends or home, it will come. It will come. Words interpret. I'll tell you what that means. Proverbs 18:8. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. We talked about gossip being so attractive. The problem is gossip distorts reality. It distorts reality. It puts priorities on the wrong things. It makes somebody look good, the speaker look good, and the person they're talking about look bad. It's interesting. It isn't just about reporting facts, but it interprets your view, worldview. It interprets what you think is important in life. And usually gossip always has to do with outward behavior. It never has to do with what's going on the inside. And so as you people gossip, or whatever you give accolades or what you shame about somebody, really what it's doing is interpreting what you think is important in life. Our words, what we say, are an opportunity to evaluate what you and I think is important in life. What we think that I want to be like that, or I don't want to be like that. Am I looking on the outside, or am I asking God to help highlight what's on the inside? Words inflate. Proverbs 29:5. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. What's the difference between words of affirmation, like I talked about a minute ago, and words that flatter? Because they can sound the same, can't they? They can sound the same. They're like, oh, they're saying such nice, kind things. There's a difference between words of affirmation and words that flatter. Words of affirmation are for the listener's benefit. I'm telling you something that builds you up because I care about you. You need to know what an impact you have with your life or what you said or what you did. You need those words of encouragement, those words of perspective, those words of maybe conviction even. Whereas words that flatter are for the speaker's benefit. They're saying things for them to look good. They're saying things so that down the road they'll benefit from it. Oh, this person really likes me and thinks I'm amazing. I'm going to invite them on this trip or to dinner with us. Those things that we think we want people to think that we're really nice person or that we recognize talented people. The problem with words of flattering words is really we're sending a net that proverb talks about. We are tripping up the telling because they're thinking that what you're saying is true. And it could be something that's not true. Insincerity, exactly. Words that we're saying for our benefit, not for theirs. And it happens when we see people who think they're really good at something they're not. Because people have flattered them. You're an amazing singer. And it's like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? There's ways to say things that are kind. And say, wow, you're really growing as a singer. I heard you a year ago. You can hit all the notes now. You know, it just, you know, those things, or maybe they're words you shouldn't say. But it is important that we don't inflate. I remember when I had my accounting business, I was taking over for a CPA in town to take over a client. And so we were interacting. And I made a comment, something like, you know, oh, I think you've done a great job with this company. You did this and that. And he said to me, hey, Scott, don't shine my bubble. I had never heard that before. But the word picture is like, what if you shine somebody's bubble that's really thin, what happens? Pops, it bursts. I was like, that is really a good word picture. It was interesting. He was older than me. I want to say maybe 20 years older, maybe 15. So he was a wise man. And he knew that what I was saying was insincere, was trying to look good in his eyes, was for my benefit, not for his benefit. And he hit the nail on the head. Guess what? It stuck with me. Remember words that are so important that he didn't say thank you or he's like, oh, that's so kind of you. He had a very realistic opinion of himself, enough to know that what I was saying was for my benefit, not for his. And he called me on it. And I took that to heart ever since. And I even have said it to other people that have complimented me sometimes. I say, don't shine my bubble. You know, that's a good thing, but it's like good here, not good here. Let's bring it down. Bring it down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, Paul talks about the gospel and how they lived. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our heart. You know we have never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. That importance of being authentic and real. Have you ever complimented somebody in order to get something for yourself? To gain a customer? To make a sale? To make a friend? Or to look good? Another eighth one here, our last one. Words spread. Proverbs 16:27, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips is like a scorching fire. It's funny, clear back then, right, long before the internet, the grapevine was alive and well. Remember I said, what is it that we want to hear people say, what we pay attention to is stuff that's not good? It's like, what? Did you hear? And some of us get great pleasure out of being a participant in that. In fact, we're disappointed when we tell somebody, did you hear? And they say, yes, I did. I'm like, no, I wanted to tell you. I want to be the bearer of this great news. Today, false rumors can spread in an instant, right? Through social media. A few years back, we experienced in the West Coast fires like we never thought were possible. That spread in minutes and hours. It took out neighborhoods and forests. That is such a real picture of what you think is safe and not possible. You have no idea what can happen. James chapter 3, as he talks about the power of the tongue, verse 5 and 6, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. How we speak, how you and I speak, sets the trajectory of our future. What we say and what we don't say. It's so important that we spend time with God so that we get impacted by what good words sound like. Affirming words, loving words. You know, that's the kind of discipline that comes with somebody's arm around you. That you feel love and convicted at the same time. Those words that bring healing and hope and transformation. Words spoken begin with what you and I think about. Self-talk. You guys have any self-talk in this room? What you tell yourself? Run it through a filter. Is that God talking to you or the enemy? Is that your flesh talking to you or the spirit? Spend time listening to what God says about you, and it will change how you talk to yourself, how you talk about yourself, and it will change what you see in other people and how you speak to them. As we think about change, number one is God's word spoken to you and your word spoken to God. As we get to confess, say, God, man, I need your help. Just like I said yesterday, I was in my little pity party and upset and angry. I confessed it. I confessed it to God and said, God, I don't know why I'm so upset. This is something that's good, but it just seems like I don't want to do it and I don't understand why. And I was able to confess it to my wife and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm in a bad mood. She goes, oh, really? To be able to confess that and say, God, would you come in and help me and reveal to me words, the power to bring life or death. Dear Lord, we walk in the... I know that we would not be here today if it wasn't the power of your words of life spoken to us. Even as we celebrated communion today, that we celebrated your forgiveness, that you said, I forgive you. As we come in need of a Savior, as we come in need of restoration, Lord, as we come in need of a transformed heart, Lord, that comes through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that we would be intentional about listening and reading your words that are intended to bring life, intended to restore things that the enemy has stolen, intended to transform us, that we would be invested in hearing your word and in reading your word so that that would begin to replace the polluted reservoir of thought that's in our mind, and that water would begin to have a bigger flow intake of your word so that those positive things and hopeful things and challenging things that bring life would begin to where our thoughts come from rather than the pollution of this world and our sin. Lord, I pray in that place that we begin to experience that purity of a reservoir, begin the water begin to change and not be putrid and stagnant. But then as it brings life to our mind, that the outflow, as the rivers that begin to come out of that reservoir, Lord, that would be life-giving. That what we speak to people would be encouraging. That what we speak to them would be accepting. That you are a God who fully loves us, who fully accepts us, and fully forgives us. Lord, that as we're transformed by you, Lord, that our words would reflect that transformation. Lord, help us to challenge each other. Help us to grow each other. Lord, help us to confess each other. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to admit to each other, Lord, of the challenges, but also the victories as we walk out your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.